Hi, folks, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. I'm your host, Jess Romola, a registered dietitian, dietitian supervisor, and owner of Empowering Dietitians, where I help burnt out and unhappy dietitians opt out of hustle culture and reclaim their passion and purpose as a human first and dietitian second. After all, we are all more than dietitians. As a reminder, I am currently on maternity leave, so from now through April, you're getting a special bonus season of the podcast, a look back at the most popular episodes from the past four seasons, along with some new commentary, episode titles, and updates. In January, we're focusing on top episodes from season one, and what better way to kick this whole thing off than with the very first episode of the entire podcast, episode one, The Empowering Dietitian's Journey. Listening back to this episode while prepping the series for you, I couldn't help but smile. Sure, there's a little bit of background audio noise. I didn't even have a microphone for this first season. And sure, the way I talk about the work that I do and the issues in our field has evolved since 2020. And I am so proud of this episode and so humbled that it remains one of the most popular episodes of the show. As an aside, that's a real testament to the healing that I've undergone over the past decade in the field. Being able to look back at an early version of something I was a total beginner at and be filled not with criticism and thoughts of how much better it could have been or have any urge to cringe at all, but rather to be filled with self-compassion and appreciation for who I was a few years ago, who I was even before that, and who I am today as a result. One of my biggest hopes is that this type of response becomes more natural, more of our default for all of us as we deprogram our brains from the perfectionism and self-criticism and insecurities that our society instills in us. If you're not quite there yet, that's okay. Keep going. It takes time. I honestly wondered going into this one if I would have a lot of edits. Maybe I would even want to re-record the whole thing. Certainly, I would have if it was dated enough that it no longer represented this show or my business or my beliefs. It does, though. This episode not only gives you a glimpse into how I got to be where I am today, the perfectionism and imposter thoughts I had to deal with, the insecurities and burnout and disconnection from self, it also beautifully paints a picture of what this podcast is and has always been about. So if you haven't ever gone back and listened to episode one, or maybe it's been a while, I encourage you to listen in today. If this is your second time hearing it, think back if you can to where you were in your own life when you first tuned in. I hope that you can do so with as much compassion for yourself as you deserve. Enjoy this episode, and I'll see you next week with another updated episode from season one. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I'll be diving into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. Today, I want to share with you a little of my own journey and how that's led me to a passion for working with fellow RDs. So I became a dietitian in 2013, and everything was amazing. I landed my dream job out of school, I was living in a new apartment, I had just adopted two adorable kittens, and everything on the surface seemed fantastic. So what was the problem? I was absolutely miserable. I was overworked, I was disconnected from myself, I had absolutely no confidence in myself personally or professionally as a dietitian. And I talk a lot on my page about my quote-unquote quarter-life crisis that came around 2016. And it was at this point when I was at about my three-year mark being a dietitian that my type A perfectionism really took over. It started to affect my confidence because when we are
kind of caught up in our perfectionism. We are holding ourselves to such high standards that we never feel like we're good enough. And we never are able to develop that strong self-worth that we need to feel confident. Now, the issue with not having a lot of confidence is that then starts to trickle down into other things. So my lack of confidence was also affecting my assertiveness. I didn't have the confidence that I needed in order to kind of stand up and stand my ground for opinions that mattered to me. And again, this was both as my work as a dietitian and beyond that. So you could find me going into a restaurant and I might ask for something or a slight modification on a menu item. And if they said no, I would dissolve into tears. Or at work, if I received a critical email from my supervisor, it would really stress me out because I wasn't able to stand up tall against the people in my life. And it was really affecting my overall health because not being able to stand up for yourself affects your stress levels a lot. And of course, when we start to question ourselves, when we are not able to stand up for what we believe in as dietitians, it starts to pull us away from our own intuition. And this was one of the last things that perfectionism really compromised in my life. So I started to focus so much on what I felt I should be doing to be a quote-unquote good dietitian, to live up to the expectations that both I set for myself and that I felt society set for me. And I really started to lose touch with who I was. I was kind of going through the motions of being a dietitian and living my life and checking off the boxes that society tells you you should check off, but I wasn't necessarily feeling fulfilled. And I know a lot of dietitians are expressing similar sentiments right now. So if you're feeling that way, know that you're not alone. Now, one of the final ways that perfectionism really started to affect my life was with my relationship to food and with my relationship to my body. Now, this is a topic of conversation that is not that popular to talk about in our field. And I have been advised in the past by coaches not to touch on it. But it's a big part of my journey. It's a big part of how I got into the work that I do, why I am so passionate about the things that I'm passionate about. And I think that it is the elephant in the room that we need to talk about. I'm sure that I'll be devoting some future episodes to different nuances of this. But when it comes down to it, my perfectionism, when combined with an education in the nutrition and food field, created a pretty troubling relationship with food and body for me. I can remember, I tell this story every once in a while, about a professor when I was early on in my nutrition career. And the professor asked the class, "How many of you eat salad every day?" A few people raised their hand. I didn't. I didn't really love salad. I was honestly just starting to learn how to enjoy vegetables in general. I was new in my nutrition career and a lot of my food choices were starting to change. Salad wasn't my first go-to change that I made. So I didn't raise my hand. And I specifically remember this professor turning to the individuals that didn't raise their hands and say, "Well, how do you expect to get all of your vegetables in for the day if you don't eat salad every day?" And it's this kind of pressure that we get so early on, telling us that there is a right way, according to them, to be a dietitian. And there are certain expectations that we need to fulfill if we're going to be in this career. And the message that it sends creates a lot of pressure for us as nutrition students and dietitians. On top of that, I'm sure that you have experienced people who kind of chime in on your food choices, whether it's a friend or family member, or maybe even a stranger who happens to know that you're a dietitian, and they see you making a food choice and they have to butt in with their two cents. This is a big source of stress for a lot of dietitians and nutrition students, and I know that it definitely created a lot of stress for me, especially because back then I didn't have the confidence or assertiveness to stand up for myself and to tell them that what they were saying made me feel uncomfortable. So when I would go and I would choose a healthier choice, a quote unquote healthier choice, maybe I did choose a salad, I would get a comment from friends or family members or someone else saying, oh, of course the dietitian is choosing a salad. That's all she eats, right? And they would make this joke. And it would hurt because, of course, I didn't only eat quote unquote healthy foods, but that's what I was expected to do. And then at the same time, if I would ever go for a dessert or chips or a burger, then the comment would be, oh, I thought you were a dietitian. Why are you eating that? So it became this lose-lose situation for me where I felt like I was going to be criticized for my food choices no matter what. And there's nothing like a healthy dose of criticism, or I should say an unhealthy dose of criticism, to really start making you feel self-doubt about your own intuitive eating choices. And this is something that, again, I have talked to a lot of dietitians about, and I know that I'm not the only one. So here I was, kind of a nutrition student at the time, an early dietitian when I had first started working, and I felt all of this pressure from other people to eat a certain way, to look a certain way, and to kind of live up to the expectations of what a perfect dietitian should be. And it really pulled me out of a healthy relationship with food and body. So here I was, you know, 3 years into being a dietitian, and my perfectionism in all of its manifestations was really wreaking havoc on my life, because it was the kind of thing that in school professors may have joked about. You know, they say that so many dietitians are type A perfectionists, but no one gives us tools for navigating it or for making sure that it doesn't take over our lives. So instead, I was anxious and stressed down and burnt out, and I really hit rock bottom, not just personally, but professionally. I found myself at age 26 alone for the first time. And as awful as it was and as lost as I felt, it was truly kind of this awakening where I came to understand how important it was if I wanted to make a difference in other people's lives, I had to first make sure that I was taking care of myself and that I wasn't losing myself in my other relationships, in my work, my job, my career. So it was around this time, about a year later, that I discovered intuitive eating. And through intuitive eating, I was able to really start to heal my own relationship with my food choices and with my body. I started to apply the work to my work in my consultations with clients. And I really started to see the benefit that it had and how transformational it was. I really felt like for the first time I was making a difference, and it was clicking for my clients and it was clicking for me. It wasn't so hard to make these changes. Don't get me wrong, intuitive eating is not easy, but it feels natural. You hit a point where it feels like you've found home, and it really changed everything for me. It also opened me up to reconnecting to myself and tapping into my intuition, not just with eating, but across all areas of my life. And when we start to pay attention to our intuition, our gut instinct, and what we feel is right for us, we naturally start to also work on our own confidence, on our own assertiveness, and on the perfectionism that has taken its hold on us. And so I've truly found that intuitive eating is so much more than just eating. It's about living, and it's about really challenging this perfectionism that is so common in our field. So because of this whole transformation, I was really able to take charge of my life personally and professionally. And so we're going to fast forward another few years. And by 2019, I was in a pretty good place. I had cultivated a lot of independence. I was feeling confident. I was kind of deep into my studies of intuitive eating. I started to feel a little bit more natural with teaching that to others. And I started to consider starting a business on the side of my full-time job. And so as I was thinking about starting this business, I started to think, of course, who is going to be my target audience? I knew that I wanted to help other women like me, women who struggled with their relationship with food and who struggled with their confidence, and I really wanted to empower them to be advocates for their own well-being and happiness. So I knew that what I wanted to do was definitely related to food and relationships with food and body image and all of this stuff, but I knew that it was so much more than that, because our health is so much more than food and fitness, right? It's also our stress. It's also being able to take care of ourselves. And especially as women, it's being able to stand up for ourselves and to take ownership of what's right for us. So I was thinking about this and trying to say, like, okay, who is this ideal client, this woman that I want to help? And kind of stereotypical, I was in the shower brainstorming and I had my aha shower moment. And I realized it wasn't just random women that I wanted to help. It was other dietitians. Because you see, I know I'm not the only type A perfectionist dietitian out there. I know this because I have mentored over a dozen dietetic interns, nutrition undergraduate students. I have trained new dietitians who have come on to the team in my day job. And I have talked to a lot of dietitians about it. And I know that these concerns and these struggles are so common in our field. And I wanted to be able to create support. So I created from there kind of the nuts and bolts of my Empowering Dietitian Supervision Program. Because at the end of the day, we can't help other people if we don't believe in ourselves and care for ourselves first and foremost. Dietitian burnout is at an all-time high. So many dietitians are feeling overworked and undervalued. They're feeling disconnected from their work. And they're even starting to doubt whether or not they made the right decision to be a dietitian in the first place. Maybe you can relate to some of those sentiments and those worries and those fears. And I'm here to say that there is support out there. And I think that there is a way that we can recover from this burnout that we're seeing kind of across the board. And it really starts with our mindset. We can't just make jokes about dietitians being perfectionists and laugh it off. We have to actually do something about it. Now, being a dietitian is super hard, right? So we're taking on other people's pain and their struggles and their emotions all day long. And you can be the strongest person out there, and that still gets hard over time. We're also living in a culture that judges us for our looks and our lifestyles, kind of just as humans, because humans are judging other humans, but also specifically because we're dietitians. And we're being forced to advocate for ourselves in a system that hasn't really been taught our value. So a healthcare system that hasn't traditionally put a big emphasis on dietitian support. Now, fortunately, that's changing quite a bit, and that's incredible. But it's still challenging for a lot of dietitians to get the recognition that they deserve. And it's also really hard for us to own our confidence. Now, I don't want to discredit all of the incredible male dietitians in the field, but given that we are a field predominantly of women, there is a lot that goes hand in hand with how women are treated in society and the effects that it has on us as a profession. Because we're not taught to be assertive. We're not necessarily taught to believe in ourselves and go after our passions when they buck society's trends or norms. And that can be challenging. So you chose a hard profession, but you also chose an absolutely incredible one. And I know that you're capable of doing all of those things. I also firmly believe that there has never been a more exciting time to be a dietitian. So even though I know that there are some of you out there that are feeling disenchanted by our field for a number of reasons that I really hope to address in these future episodes, know that as a dietitian, you have so many options and so much potential. Really, you can do almost anything with this degree. And that's what I really want to empower you to start to see and to start to figure out, what is it that you really want to be doing? What are you passionate about? What lights you up? Reconnect with the reason that you became a dietitian in the first place. And so with my remaining episodes, which I'm going to try and keep short, I'm not that good at it, but with my future episodes, I'm going to be blending some solo episodes like this, where it's just me chatting, And I'm also going to have some guest episodes where I bring in other dietitians in the field to really talk about their journey and what they've learned along the way and lend their own unique perspective to a lot of these topics. Topics like why so many dietitians struggle with confidence and perfectionism in the first place, and what are things about our educational structural system that might be able to be changed to help support dietitians coming into the field in the future, and what we can all do about it and our confidence and perfectionism now, no matter how long we've been in the field. Topics like, how do you feel more confident as a nutrition counselor and make a bigger difference in your clients' and patients' lives, even if you don't feel like your nutrition education specifically prepared you for a strong counseling career? We're going to be talking about unpacking the nuance of intuitive eating and the Health at Every Size movement for anyone who's curious but maybe a little bit skeptical or not feeling quite ready to start using these approaches in your own practice. And we're going to be talking about how intuitive eating can expand and broaden into this intuitive living conversation where you can really start to trust what you feel inside is right and march to the beat of your own dietitian drum and not feel like you have to follow the rules or the cultural norms every step of the way. We're also going to be talking about what true, genuine self-care looks like for dietitians beyond all the trendy bubble baths and Instagrammable moments, because let's face it, we do have to take care of ourselves if we're going to care for other people. And it's not always dietitians' favorite topic to talk about. We tend to think like, I've got the food thing down, I've got the fitness thing down, like I'm good, I've got my self-care. But there's a lot more to it than that. And if we're going to kind of see some declines in this dietitian burnout that we've been seeing so common and commonly in our society right now and in our profession, we need to talk about it a little bit more. And so many more topics. I want this to be an evolving podcast. I have tons of ideas and I'd love to hear from you too. So if there's something that you struggle with as a dietitian, if there's something that confuses you or that you're not sure what to do with, let me know. It's pretty open-ended. I want to have these conversations. I want to support you. I want this to be for you. And I'm really excited to go on this new journey with you. So that's all I have for you today. I'm getting close to the 20-minute mark, which I told myself I was going to keep these under 20 minutes. So we're going to wrap it up here. And I want to say a big thank you for listening to my very first episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you resonated with what you heard on today's episode and are looking for more one-on-one support in your journey as a dietitian, I want to invite you to apply to my Empowering Dietitians one-on-one supervision program, where I guide dietitians just like you to reconnect with your purpose and passion, overcome stress, anxiety, and perfectionism, and confidently start standing up for yourself and your beliefs, all so that you can truly make a bigger difference in your clients' lives and design your dream life as a dietitian. To learn more, head to www.empoweringdietitians.com/supervision.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, there are two things that you can do that dramatically help to support the show. First, leave a quick rating and/or review on your podcast listening app of choice, which really helps new listeners find the show. Second, sharing this episode with a dietitian friend can also go a long way in spreading the anti-hustle message to dietitians far and wide. And speaking of supporting one another, even though I'm on maternity leave right now, that doesn't mean this podcast is your only way of receiving support. On my website, you can find a host of resources, from free workbooks and journals that will opt you into my monthly newsletter support, to a whole library of recorded courses and classes, many of which are approved for CEUs by the CDR. Check out everything I have to offer on my website at www.empoweringdietitians.com.